following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Internet bill was really adding up. So to save some money, I just used my neighbor's unpassword-protected Wi-Fi for free.
It's unpassword-protected because the signal doesn't go outside of the house. Now get off my couch.
Not to mention, I recharge my laptop for free.
Mm-hmm, not free.
And while I wait for all my downloads, they really need more bandwidth. I just grab a soda. Not much of a diet fan, but beggars can't be choosers.
You're not begging, you're just choosing.
Neighbors are great.
There's an easier way to save. Get online, go to geico.com, get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Well, it's January, which means you've officially survived another holiday season. And since you've spent the past month thinking of others, maybe it's time you did a little something for yourself, like picking up tickets to the NFL playoffs or one of the first games of the NBA season. And the best way to do that? Easy. StubHub. More fans are headed to StubHub these days to score their tickets. It's fast, easy, it's a no-brainer. So if you haven't already, head to StubHub. Grab yourself a little something for making it through the holidays in one piece.
StubHub!
Dear Lord, the battle we go through life.
Dear Lord, the battle we go through life.
We ask for a chance is fair.
We ask for a chance is fair.
Chance to equal our strife.
Chance to equal our strife.
Chance to do it there.
Chance to do it there.
He's got the touchdown! It's the touchdown for Corey Schlesinger!
We should win.
We should win.
Let it be by the cold.
Let it be by the cold.
Faith and honor held high.
Faith and honor held high.
We should lose.
We should lose.
Stand by the road.
Stand by the road.
Cheers, the winners go by.
Cheers, the winners go by.
Oh, man, woman, and child, I never thought I would live this long to see this kind of a football.
The snap is down. The kick is up. The kick is
get
on
there.
Its way. The kick is good.
Can you hear
it? We got to go out there and smash people. Put them on their ass, you know. Smash mouth football. That's the way we play. That's the way we've been taught.
The clock shows a minute and 55 seconds. Two shots to go 2 yards. Jeff Kinney in the top of the eye. The quarterback calls his count at the line of scrimmage, taking a long count. Here he gives to Kinney. Kinney over the left side, touchdown! 74 yards on that drive, and Nebraska forges into the lead, 34-31. Oh man, woman, and child, I never thought I would live this long to see this kind of a football game.
Turns, hands it off to Burkhead right up the middle, drives, he's in. Rex Burkhead rams in there for 6 points.
And the bottom line for Nebraska is this. It always has been and it always will be about winning championships. Anything less is frankly unacceptable.
The snap to Tommy and the give on the trap play. And it's Schlesinger inside the five. In there for the touchdown. He's got the touchdown. It's the touchdown for Corey Schlesinger. It is history. 13-0. And bring that trophy back to Lincoln.
Quarterback keeper for Martinez up the middle. He's got a first down. There he goes. 40, 50, 40, 30. Nobody's going to catch Tanner Martinez, an 80-yard scamper. His third rushing touchdown of the day.
If we go out there and play 60 minutes of the hardest football we know how, they're going to lay down.
Bell lost the ball. And the Cornhuskers scoop it up, and it's Rude. Touchdown. Here's a reverse. Now back to the quarterback. Enderle gets hit, brought down. Jared Crick sniffed that play out and sacks Enderle all the way back at the 11-yard line.
In offense, baby, you just do what you do best. Because nobody, and I mean nobody, runs the ball like you guys do.
There's the handoff to Roy Hill, who's got the midfield. Roy bursting through. 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. Third rushing touchdown of the day.
Rozier turns, he's running back around the field, he's trying to get away, he's looking for blockers, he turns upfield, he's going to run a touchdown!
We're Nebraska, baby.
26 seconds left, quarterback Tanner, back to pass, he looks into the end zone, fade pattern, purify, near side, leaps, he catches it, touchdown Nebraska!
Here's Wiley's kick, gets high, it holds up there, Rogers takes the ball at the 30, he's hit and got away, back upfield to the 35, to the 40, he's in the 45, he's in the 50, to the 45, to the 40, to the 35, to the 20, to the 10, he's all the way home! Holy moly! Man, woman, and child did that, put him in the aisle! Johnny the Jet Rogers just tore him loose from their shoe!
Grant Mahoney to try to tie it up, snap, and they're going to fake it! They throw it out in the flat, it's intercepted by Nebraska, and the Huskers have won! Eric Haig knocked it away,
Huskers have survived in overtime in Ames.
And an option to the right, Tommy on the keep, turns the corner, 25-30. Eludes a tackler, 35. Tommy Frazier, 37, 38, 39, 40. 45, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30. He's going to go. Holy cow. Touchdown, Tommy Frazier.
Yay, Friday.
What are we doing? What, it's not Friday.
No, Doug. No, but it is a roundtable.
Coming up, our next segment, we'll have kind of a short first segment, and then we'll get right after it. It is our year-end Husker Roundtable. We obviously talk Huskers all year long, but at the beginning of the year, we do our 12 teams in 12 days, and at the end of the year, we like to recap the season and get the thoughts of some of the major players that cover the Huskers for every single hour of the year. And Steve Sipple, Sean Callahan, and Mike Babcock will join us in our next segment. Don't forget to vote on our ATS Hot Topic. Great Nebraska season. ESPNSuperstation.com. ESPNSuperstation.com, home of the ATS Hot Topic. All you have to do is grade Nebraska season. We don't have to wait to get the boys on. What'd you grade it, Tone?
I think you're looking at a C. I don't think it's anything better than that.
C is average.
Yeah,
what you thought.
Well, C is what I guess you...
C is a little maybe below what you thought, since you thought 10-2 or 9-3.
Right, and you know what? You go back and you look at this. I think, you know, everybody's so fired up as you head into the fall. You go back and look at the schedule. It wasn't going to be an easy schedule. You knew there were a couple losses out there. Like I said, you know, earlier in the week, okay, that's fine. You lose to Northwestern, but you had the greatest comeback in school history versus Ohio State. So if you lose to Ohio State, I mean, do you feel any better about it? Because you beat Northwestern, a team you should have beat? No, I mean, the record's still the same. That's why I think going back, you're fired up. I think everybody goes a little bit high, looking at the optimistic in your heart. Yes, you won a national title. You won a Big Ten championship. Realistically, when you looked at that schedule, you're going, wow, probably a couple, three losses there automatically. And I guess, you know, you expected so many good things out of this defense, too. And with Carl Pelini saying in the summer that this could be the best defense they've ever had, and then you get to the middle of the year.
And then it's not even close.
Right.
I bought into it. I drank the Kool-Aid. If you go with what my personal thoughts were of what was going to happen, I guess I'm looking at a C minus. If you just take a big picture overall, you're looking at a B minus C plus, in my opinion. 888-455-ESPN. We've got just a little time to take a call or two if you want to do that here in the first segment at the end of the show. Really, email's probably the way to go today, or Facebook us. You can either Facebook us or email us if you've got a good question. If you got a question, we'll determine whether it's good or not for our panel today. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. The Dent Popper inbox, Doug, spell out the word and, A-N-D, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. This team did have a big win this year against a good team. That was Michigan State. They did have what could be considered a bad loss, and that's against Northwestern, although Northwestern did go to a bowl game and compete fairly well with Texas A&M. And in the way things have played out here, yeah, a lot of the teams Nebraska played didn't win their bowl games. Okay, so whatever. Going to try and hit a few topics before we take this break, though. Daddy, I mean, you hit it right on the head. As soon as I said West Virginia's horrible and Clemson should mop the floor up with them, an embarrassment of a football game, and I feel a little bad when we need to throw the Clemson defensive coordinator under the bus, but Clemson obviously didn't show up to play, and you just don't know in these bowl games. If you had the insider, you almost need a kid, and you can't even get a kid because they're going to tell, oh, yeah, we're ready to go. No, tell me the truth. There is no way anybody in that Clemson organization can tell me that they were ready to play. They won the ACC championship, and that's all they gave a damn about. And they didn't care because West Virginia is not that good. They're not 70 points good. They're not 42 points good.
No, but if you watch the first part of that football game, it was back and forth. It looked like it was going to be a great football game.
Well, we've gotten used to can't stop anybody if that's great football. And then you throw in Michigan and Virginia Tech, and you go, God, that's just a terrible, not well-played game, but it's slow scoring. I don't know. How many 17-14 bowl games do we have this year?
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah, I think you go
zero.
Back.
Zero. And tomorrow night, the Cotton Bowl, Kansas State, Arkansas, and I don't expect that to be low scoring either.
We take a day off a bowl game. So.
Yeah, tonight we do have a little basketball for you, a late night action. It'll be UCLA and Arizona here on ESPN Radio, 10 o'clock tip-off, 9:45 pregame. Tomorrow on the show, Charles Davis, Tony's cousin, will join us from the Fox Network and NFL.com, and Mike Perenio. Why not? We're getting ready for the NFL playoffs and the national championship game on Monday. Mike Perenio, the director of the Race and Sportsbook at Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, will join us on the show tomorrow as well. And that's not all. It's not all, people. Mark Manning, Nebraska wrestling coach, joins us tomorrow on the show as well. Wow. We are jam-packed. That is the schedule for tomorrow. Steve Sipple, Sean Callahan, Mike Babcock going to join us. Do we have the bowl update? We had one person, right? So we have a clear-cut leader that took West Virginia. If my 24-hour memory is worth a damn, and that is Mark M. He goes to 20-11. He's the only person that had West Virginia. So he has the lead in the Big Daddy's Deli Bowl Bonanza. 19-12 for Jason A., Andy, and Mitch. So they're one game back, but second don't do nothing. Ain't diddly pokes. Sean, you're hoping Kansas State wins so that you can move within one game of the pack. But no matter what, Mark is going to have the lead until Saturday because the rest of the crew all picked Arkansas except for Sean. And since I, of course, picked Clemson, you picked West Virginia, and now you're another game ahead of me in the Pedicure Bowl.
That's just what I do. Dominate. Yeah. Dominate. Hey, I'm just looking over the bowl games, Doug, the low-scoring bowl games from start to finish. Marshall, Florida International, 20-10. Southern Mississippi, 24, Nevada, 17. I mean, then you're going down Texas, California, 21-10. Florida State, Notre Dame, 18.
That was brutal.
18-14. Rutgers, 27.
Who was 18-14?
Florida State, Notre Dame.
Okay, and that was brutal.
Illinois, UCLA, 20-14. So, yeah, you got a handful of games that were of the low-scoring variety. Otherwise, everything else.
Colorado Mesa, known as Mesa State in the day. They are looking for a head football coach, and their search committee has narrowed its pool of over 60 candidates to 6 finalists. An announcement on the next head football coach could come as soon as Tuesday, January 17th, which is the first day that they are back in school. Among those 6 finalists, UNK offensive coordinator Russ Martin. He was up for a Minnesota school opening last year, 8 seasons as the Loper offensive coordinator. And Pat Burns, the former head coach at UNO. What do you call him? He's like the head football coach at UNO forever because they just don't have it anymore. He's one of the finalists. Matt Entz, defensive line coach at Northern Iowa. Dan Hammerschmidt, assistant coach at Colorado State with 22 years of coaching experience. Ed Meikercourt, former head coach at South Dakota. Jesus. And Steve Ryan, the current head coach at Morningside, the top program in the GPAC. There's a pretty good finalist there for Colorado Mesa.
How old is Pat Burns? Shoot us an email if you have the answer.
We can pull that up. That's not. Over 23 years of head coaching pursuit. 14. Assistant coach at North Dakota in 75. So I'm going to give you that was his first gig, 75. That would be 35 years there, right? 36, 37. So he's in his upper 50s. Maybe 60.
Okay. Thought maybe a little bit older than that, thinking why would he want to?
Well, minimum.
No, okay. I was thinking 65, 66.
But. Nebraska women host Indiana tonight. The Hastings College basketball teams really wasn't close last night. Alicia Statler, 20 points, 13 rebounds. The 8th-ranked Bronco women beat Dort 75-48. For the men, Hastings College saw the 2nd-ranked team of the country, Dort, shoot 62%.
Oh.
98-77. It was 48-46 at the half, 98-77. Tonight on 1230 KHAS, the Hastings St. Cecilia boys are at Gretna. Tip time at 6:30 on Classic Hits 98.9. Donovan Trumbull is at Ravenna. Girls scheduled for 6, boys at 7:45. And both boys' teams are ranked. And remember, Donovan Trumbull just, I believe, going to get all their kids back for this game tonight. And they upset Ravenna last year. new high school rankings. I'll run it down for you real quick. I'm going to use the Omaha World Herald, Lincoln Journal Star. Look at that. I always say, look at the Journal Star for the boys and the World Herald for the girls. Here we go. Omaha World Herald. These are the boys. Class A, Omaha Central, number one. Grand Island, 10th. South Sioux City, number one in B. Boys Town, number one in C1. Minden is second. St. Cecilia is 9th. C2, Ravenna is number one. North Platte, St. Pat's, 7th. Donovan Trumbull, 8th. D1, Humphrey, St. Francis is number one. D2, Brooding, Devonport, Shickley is number four, by the way, at D1. And Exeter Milligan, 9. For our Eastern listeners, and in D2, Giltner remains number one, and Loomis is 8th. Couple of notes, Kearney Catholic falls out in C1, double overtime loss to Ravenna, and they let a lead get away against North Platte St. Pat's. Kearney Catholic should be in the top 10 in C1. In D2, Pleasanton was so banged up, even Riley Jane says it looks like they've got the ship righted as they won both the tournaments that they were in, their pre-holiday and the Arapaho post-holiday or holiday. And as far as the girls, Omaha Central is number one in A. Seward is number one in B. Holdridge is third. Grand Island Northwest is sixth. Boone Central, they got an amazing 6-2 post player up there. Minden knows all about it. They started 10th. They are number one. Kearney Catholic girls are second. Minden fourth. Sandy Creek fifth. St. Cecilia eighth. C2, the Homer girls, they're number one. Shelton is fourth. Centura is sixth. D1, Exeter Milligan is number one. Arapaho, 9th. And in D2, Howells is number one. Mullen Bronco girls are number 5th. That's for you, Eddie Bike. And Ansley is 7th. Loomis sets in 10th. And be careful of those deer, because 26 deer carcasses, chronic wasting disease in Buffalo, Custer, and Holt County.
All right. All right, Douglas. I think we got to wrap this. We're going to take a short, we're going to do this, a quick deal here.
Yes.
So we can get to the Husker Roundtable.
Yep. You ready?
Yes.
Let's take a break. Coming up, Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Mike Babcock. When you're talking sports and you're enjoying lunch, Cunningham's Journal in the Loft is the place to be. Open for lunch, pizza, prime rib, chicken, Journal bites, burgers, brisket sandwiches, sliders. And don't forget to watch your favorite college and NFL football and basketball at Cunningham's. Live entertainment most weekends. About the only place in all of the world that does that anymore.
It's good. Coldest beer in town.
Great food. Coldest beer in town. Located at 23rd Street, downtown Kearney. Sports fans, come in, watch your favorite sports, eat lunch, and enjoy a good time at Cunningham's, the Husker Roundtable. Next.
Now for last year's Winter X Games Snowmobile Best Trick Gold Medal Run, relayed to you by my Uncle Gary.
First off, that motorized sled thing looks dangerous. Why would someone drive it into the sky? Oh, and then he's gonna let go? Oh, come on, with all the waving of the limbs and the showboating. Oh, look at you, Professor Fancy, sitting back down on it all comfortably and landing so softly.
The Winter X Games is something better seen for yourself. Winter X Games Aspen starts January 26th on ESPN and ESPN2. Brought to you by America's Navy.
The call to serve has no sound, yet I have heard it. In the whispered retelling of honorable sacrifices made by those who have served before me. The call to serve has no form, yet I have clearly seen it in the eyes of men and women infinitely more courageous than most. It is invisible, yet always present. And for those who choose to answer the call, it is the most powerful force on Earth. America's Navy, a global force for good. To answer the call, go to Navy.com.
When the fish are under the ice, the one thing they find irresistible is wax worms. They love them, even though it gets them in trouble. Ice fishermen, on the other hand, have no trouble buying wax worms and all sorts of live bait at the Boathouse at their new Highway 281 location north of Grand Island. The Boathouse, with all the chubs and grubs and minnows and stinky, crawly, luscious bait the fish can't resist. See the Boathouse north of Grand Island on 281 for repair and used boats, too. Log on to theboathousegi.com.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Look, so here's the deal. I get off work at 4 every day. Wife thinks it's 5, but sometimes I like to have a little break. So every day, my buddies and I head down to Cunningham's German for their happy hour specials from 3 to 6. They have the best selection of small craft and micro brews, Buck 50 Wells, guarantee the coldest draft beer in town, and of course, their big ass beers for $2.50. You see, I love my wife, but sports guys like us sometimes sit down with their buds, have a cold beer, and watch our favorite sports. So sports fans, when you're ready for your happy hour, the place to be is Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
When the Tri-City Storm began the second half of the USHL season, they looked at the schedule and determined they needed 25 wins before the end of the season to get into the playoffs. They already have a good foothold on that goal. Listen to the Storm and count up the wins to the playoffs with Platte River Radio. Storm Hockey is live from Green Bay, Friday on The Breeze, 94.5 FM. Then Saturday at Cedar Rapids on Classic Hits 98.9. Keep listening because the playoffs could be a stormy affair.
As sunshine develops across the area today, temperatures will top off up in the mid-60s for a high, with a west wind from around 10 to 15. For tonight, as skies stay mainly clear, we'll head back to 31. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, it's 48.
Take me home tonight. Listen, honey, just like run aside.
Be my little baby.
Kevin Steele, of course, the defensive coordinator at Clemson. What do you think? Whose asses are sore, Nebraska men's basketball or Clemson football?
Clemson football.
There you go. Doug and Daddy Guest taken care of by our friends at BK, two locations in Kearney. Also Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. Check out the new fries and try one of their new BK toppers. This is one of my favorite times of the year. Not that the season is over, but to be able to do our Husker Roundtable and talk solid Husker football with Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal star, Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, and Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com. We welcome them all to the Doug and Daddy Show to talk Nebraska football. And gentlemen, good morning. Thanks for all you do for the Doug and Daddy Show. I hope you enjoyed your time in Orlando. And let's start there. Sip, we'll start with you. Coach Pelini thought that everything was great in Orlando except the outcome of the game. I want each of you to start us off just so we get a feeling of where all three of you are. We're going to start with Sip. We'll go to Sean. We'll go to Mike. Grade the season. Morning, guys.
Great. Good morning. Grade the season. I'd say a B. You know, it's about what I expected. I mean, and I won't drone on here. I mean, the point I would make is this. I mean, I think most people, well, I'm just going to say myself, I expected about 9-4, 10-3 is what I thought. I thought they'd get to the Big Ten championship game, and they didn't. So that's one thing. But I didn't think they'd win the Big Ten championship game. So I don't know. They're just not that far off from where I thought. And the thing that gets lost and all the negativity about the bowl game is in this whole discussion about the season is four new coaches, a new offense, and a new conference. And when you consider those things in the equation, I don't know exactly what people are expecting, but I guess 9-4, 10-3, that area is about what I expected, so B is what I say.
And I think, Tony, a lot of people thought Nebraska would get to that conference championship game with two losses, and they just didn't. Sean, you grade the season. What do you think?
Yeah, I had it at about a B or B minus. You know, I think the expectations change so much throughout the season each week, really. Yeah. I mean, early on in the year, you're thinking of this big three on defense, they're going to be great. Well, Crick was hurt, Dennard was hurt. There were problems with his defense early on against Fresno State and Washington that raised major red flags. But then they go out to Wisconsin, and all those things we thought were questions ended up being true. But then the expectations got thrown off again with what they did to Michigan State. Then everyone's thinking they can run the table. I just think this – I mean, I'm with Sip. I had the year as a 9-3, 10-2 type of year. 9-3 was probably realistic. I did think they'd make it to Indianapolis. I guess what we couldn't factor in, though, was no one thought Michigan State would beat Wisconsin. And that game is basically what kept Nebraska out of Indianapolis for the most part, with Michigan State winning that game over Wisconsin. But no, I think the season, you know, I don't know if it met expectations or what, but it, to me, it seems like the expectations were across the board. And you know, I don't know if people really knew what they wanted. I mean, I think people wanted obviously make it to Indianapolis, but realistically, could Nebraska play with Wisconsin right now? I don't think so. And they had their chances against teams like Michigan, and there were just too many flaws on this defense. People want to point the finger to Taylor Martinez, but the defense had way too many flaws this year to be an elite-level defense to win a conference championship.
Mike, no one wants to say A, no one wants to say D. What do you think? Grade the season, first time through the Big Ten. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated.
Yeah, I'm going to sound redundant here. B minus. I think B minus is realistic, and you know, I agree with Sean and I agree with Sip on some of the reasons for that. The thing that was disappointing for me, I guess, was that I expected Nebraska to be maybe a little bit more consistent than it was, and so you could accept a loss at Wisconsin under those circumstances, but I didn't think that Nebraska responded very well when things started to go bad. They just continued to go bad. There was no way to stem the tide. And I think that the biggest concern, probably people look at it, you want high expectations. I thought that Nebraska would probably be in the Big Ten championship game, but when things fell apart, they really fell apart. I mean, the Wisconsin thing was embarrassing. The Michigan thing turned into an embarrassment. Nebraska loses a game at home to Northwestern, and then the way things came apart in the bowl game again, it's that consistency thing that I think was most concerning for me as I evaluated. I could accept the losses. I just would have liked to have seen a little more consistency and competitiveness when things started to fall apart, and that's why I throw probably the minus in there on the B. But certainly the things that Sip said, considering new assistant coaches and new conference, all the things that Nebraska had to deal with in terms of change going into the Big Ten had to be factored in there. And the other thing I guess I would say is that you want high expectations. You want Bo Pelini talking about playing for championships. You want the standard set pretty high. But then you have to also understand that there are other factors involved in just accomplishing those goals other than just setting them.
Mike, I'm going to stay with you. You've been around here for a long time and basically a Husker historian. Are you surprised about the negativity and the fan backlash after the bowl game, or are you ever surprised? I mean, you guys get emails, you guys get phone calls. I mean, we get emails, two words, Bo Pelini, two words, Gary Gibbs. I mean, come on. I mean, the guy's winning nine games.
Well, yeah, and you know, that's a good point. I think it's the nature of things, and I think it's more dramatic now than it once was. I tend to be more patient, and so you know, I look at it and say, this is four seasons in. I think you have to look at it from the standpoint of, did Nebraska make the right decision in hiring Bo Pelini as coach? And if Nebraska did, which I'm of a mind that it did, then I think you have to have some patience and give that guy an opportunity to develop a program. And 4 years in doesn't mean that it needs to be the finished product in any way, shape, or form. So the fact that his teams have won nine games each of those years and had an opportunity, really, you know, that's the thing people were looking at and saying, well, this could be three consecutive seasons of 10 wins. That's no small accomplishment. And even winning nine games is no small accomplishment. So I understand that, you know, people are going to get upset about things because they had such high expectations. And, again, you want some of that. I mean, you want the team, the program to be held to a high standard, but you also have to be realistic. And this is a very competitive time and place in college football. It's very difficult. I mean, we saw, you know, I think Clemson was a pretty good team. Clemson gives up 70 points in a bowl game. It's that kind of competitiveness that you're dealing with. And so I think people need to cut the program a little bit of slack there and say, Is Bo Pelini the right guy? Can he get it done? And I think he can, but he has to have an opportunity. And You know, I guess the example I use is Nebraska. Bill Callahan comes here, and Nebraska fans are talking about, well, every program has had a slide. You know, Alabama had a slide, Oklahoma had a slide. Every program goes through a slide. So it's understandable that Nebraska would go through a slide. So Bill Callahan's first team, you know, has some problems, not very successful. And people say, well, there's the slide. Okay, let's get back to winning a national championship. It's that immediacy that everybody wants, and I think you have to have some patience.
And we hear so much more from the fans with the way you can socially network these days, so many ways to get that out there instead of just standing outside of the stadium and going, oh, my goodness. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Mike Babcock join us here for our Husker Roundtable. We'll start asking each of them individual questions. Sean touched on the defense. And I agree that it wasn't there, and that was before Jared Crick got hurt. And anything else you want to say, we'll go to Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star. Sip, was there a moment that defined this season for Nebraska, do you think?
No, I not really, I don't think. There's a few. I mean, you could say, I wouldn't say there's one moment. I think there's been a few defining moments, and certainly Wisconsin was one. But I mean, we always, I don't know, I guess it's human nature to always, when you go back over the season, to start pointing out the bad losses. They had some really good wins in this season. I mean, really good wins. The way they rallied against Ohio State, I thought that was a defining point when, you know, Levante David ripped that ball out of Braxton Miller's hand and they made a great comeback. I thought Michigan State was certainly beating the top 10 team. As convincingly as Nebraska did in late October was a defining point. And then late there was two defining points, I thought. I think one of the most memorable road trips Nebraska's had in a long time and will remember for a long time is Penn State. Not for all football reasons, but to go in there and under those circumstances and win was a defining point. But probably coming back and losing to Michigan the way they did was. But I can't say there's one moment or one game this season that defines it. I think you have to look at several.
Sean, I'll go to you with this question, and this was an email question we got, and it's from one of the negative emailers. They want to know, with the current players on the roster, is Nebraska close to being poised to making a run for even a Big 12 title?
Or Big 10 title.
Yes. Sorry, I'm still trying to move on to that. A Big 10 title.
But I think the offense is really in good shape when you look at it going forward, especially with the linemen and the running backs and the receivers. They've got all that in place. Now, there's going to be the skeptics of Taylor Martinez. I do feel like they're bringing in a good quarterback, Tommy Armstrong. You've got Jamal Turner as an option. And then Breon Carnes. I mean, so there is going to be some more competition, I feel, at quarterback. I like where this offense is heading, especially if they get Andres Pete committed, which I think they are going to on the offensive line. I mean, they are going to have a premier offensive line with some of the more highly touted high school guys in the country on there, with guys like, the kid that Tyler Moore and Andres Pete, and even some of the kids like Zach Stirrup and Ryan Reeves, and they're really excited about those guys. Now, defensively, that's where my questions are. I think when you look at the recruiting, not last year's class, but the previous two, Bo Pelini's really first two classes, I think they settled on some guys, particularly on defense, instead of holding out for the best. And you're not going to see any of these guys ever see the field. And they've got to do a better job, and I think they've realized that in this year's freshman class and in the upcoming recruiting class for 2012, they are holding out for the best because they can't just settle on guys that they know they're going to get when they offer them a scholarship and just stop recruiting everybody else. And I think they're starting to get back to that. But really there was a two-year cycle where on the defensive line and in the secondary and even at linebacker where they didn't get a lot of guys. And you're seeing that on the field because you didn't see very many young faces break through. And this was going to be a year where you needed some young faces to break through on that defense.
Sip, I'll go to you with this one. You're as close to Bo as anybody. 4 years in, the learning curve for him. What do you think? What part of the college football game has he had to adapt most to, or learn the most from in the first 4 years?
I don't understand the question. Can you rephrase it?
Well, I guess I'm going with, is it the recruiting side of things? Is it simplifying maybe his defense to where kids can understand it and learn it and adapt to it? As far as things that Bo really had to adapt to in 4 years, is there one thing or another that he's had to do more than other areas?
I don't know. I mean, I think he's, first of all, I think he's done a good job, so it's hard to find too much wrong, but I think recruiting probably would be the thing I'd look at that is an ongoing area. It's an area where he probably would need the most work, but, you know, I feel kind of funny saying that because who knows? Who cares what I really think? I mean, Bo knows what he's doing. Bo knows what he's doing running a program. I couldn't begin to run a football program. But what Sean said is interesting about those, you know, there's a couple classes on defense where they settled. I think, you know, I'll stay with the recruiting, I think. You know, in my conversations with Bo, it's pretty clear that it's tougher than he thought. To recruit the very, very best here. And I think that they're still adapting in some respects to that. And it has been difficult. But here's the thing, it'll continue to be difficult. It's getting harder and harder to recruit to Nebraska for a variety of reasons. But one of them is that brand, the mystique of the Nebraska brand, with every season that they don't play for any kind of championship, or they don't win any kind of championship, every year the mystique diminishes, and it's diminishing, so that's an ongoing problem that it's not going to go away overnight.
Steve Sipple, Sean Callahan, Mike Babcock join us on our Husker Roundtable here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. This is one of the emails. This has been an email we get every so often at our Husker lunches. I personally talked to Sip and Sean about this, about putting up Angry Bo on the website, about putting Angry Bo on the front page of the paper, about putting Angry Bo on the sports section. And it actually seemed to simmer down a little bit as the year went along. But Angry Bo surfaced again in the bowl game, and the fans, I don't know if it's 50-50, 60-40, what it is, and Mike, you've seen them all. I call it Bo Cam. How many times did they show Steve Spurrier? You guys were at the game, but when we watched it on TV, how many times did they show Steve Spurrier, even Steve Spurrier, the old ball coach, as opposed to Bo Pelini? They have special Bo Cam just for when he gets fired up, which I think is unfair, but it also shows that he gets fired up more than the normal coach. Mike, how does this, in the grand scheme of things, A, affect the team, if at all? Because some people say, well, now they're undisciplined. Look at all the penalties. Look at some of the unsportsmanlike conducts at the beginning of the year. Does it affect the team at all? And more importantly, I know Nebraska fans are worried about how it reflects on the state of Nebraska and the university. Mike, what do you think about all that?
Well, I think it's a difficult situation because in this day and age, just exactly what you said, there's cameras trained on him now, and there's a perception that is going to be reinforced in some way or other by that focusing of cameras. I mean, that's the presentation. That's how people Bo is going to be perceived from a national standpoint. If you've got ESPN training its cameras on him, looking for these kinds of things, and I think that's something that a coach has to deal with now. That 15, 20 years ago, coach didn't have to deal with that kind of thing. That sort of scrutiny, and again, it's perception, and it's how you want to evaluate it. You can say the guy's passionate, or you can say that he needs to be under control to some extent. I think it probably has some effect on recruiting as well. I mean, people, parents look at that and say, "Well, do I want my son to go play for that coach?" By all accounts, when you talk to players here, they say Bo's a player's coach, but from a national perspective. When you have that kind of focus the camera on him and let's see if he has some sort of a meltdown on the sideline kind of thing, that's gonna affect the way people outside the program, outside the state, perceive it. And I think it has an effect on recruiting as well. But, you know, it's to some extent, you are who you are, and it's difficult to change that. So I think it's a difficult thing for Bo, and you know, the bottom line is, I guess if Nebraska were 13-0 at this point, getting ready to play for the national championship, people wouldn't think it was all that big a deal. He'd be a passionate guy. But when you're 9-4, then all of a sudden, well, that's one more reason to get upset.
Sean, I'll go to you with this question. You see these other teams out there, and we got this as an email question too. They want to know, why do you see other freshmen at skill positions getting on the field? You saw the Black Mamba from Oregon run right up the middle. He's a freshman. Where Nebraska's playmakers seem to have glimpses at times, but they're never on the field for any amount of time at all.
Well, that's kind of been the million-dollar question for a long time at Nebraska. I mean, we saw guys play, though. I mean, Jamal Turner, obviously, at times, and Kenny Bells, he's a redshirt freshman, he was the leading receiver, and Amir Abdullah and Aaron Green had roles, but they weren't good enough to take over the starting job over Rex Burkhead, and I thought they did a better job this year. Tyler Moore was a freshman. I thought they did a better job getting guys involved on offense that were freshmen than we've seen recently. Now, defensively, I really think the system is just that complicated. I mean, I've talked to guys that have told me that Bo Pelini's defense is more complicated than an NFL defense to learn, and these are guys that played in the NFL, and they said this defense is harder to learn than the defenses they learned in the NFL, and I think that is challenging for a young guy to come in and pick all those things up necessarily, and you've seen very, very, very few true freshmen play under Bo. Alfonso Dennard had a limited role as a freshman, and you know, other than that, you know, you can't really count too many guys that have gone on as true freshmen. I just think the nature of that two-gap system where there's a lot of route matching and it's a matchup zone, there's so many concepts to it that make it very complicated, and that's something Bo might have to address. Like, is this too complicated to get my best playmakers on the field? Do we have to maybe dumb it down a little bit here going forward if we want players to play and execute at the level we need them to execute at?
Sip, I'll go to you with this one. Defensively, is that where you see the biggest question mark as they head to spring football?
Probably. I mean, they got some. Yeah, I mean, I think because you're losing mainly Levon A. David, but also, you know, also Crick. I mean, Crick and Denner are obviously huge losses, but Crick had been lost, so it's almost like they've had to adapt to that. I'd say for that reason. The big reason to me is David, because he cleaned up so many messes. Just with his explosive ability to get to the ball carrier. How are you going to replace it? I don't think you do. I mean, what's going to have to happen is everybody. There are going to have to be several guys that raise their game up a notch in order to compensate for that loss. So, yeah, I'd say that defense is the biggest issue, and specifically trying to make up for the playmaking ability of Levon and David.
We've had a couple more emails here. One's kind of talking, and we had this on Tuesday's show, and we got back fans that were actually at the game didn't think that Husker fan was fired up and apathy out there. I don't know that that's a question that we need to delve on for a long, long time, but Mike, again, you're the senior guy here, Mike Babcock, Steve Sipple, and Sean Callahan. Is Husker fan, because, as I said, these kids in college have never seen Nebraska win a championship. Has Husker fan become apathetic?
Well, no, I don't think so. I've heard that over the course of years when Osborne was here. I heard the same thing, you know, that Nebraska's fan base tends to be a little bit older and they don't have enough energy and they don't get fired up and they, you know, and don't do this and that. That's almost too much analysis, I think. No, I don't think Nebraska fan base is any different than any other. Now, if you want a bunch of fans out there being so disorderly and making obscene gestures, I mean, is that what we're looking for? I don't think so. I mean,
we want to be like Wisconsin, Mike. We want to be like Wisconsin.
Yeah,
you know, coming back, going back to the parking lot at about 12:30 in the morning after that game, it was like, you know, I got an insight into what a prison riot might be like. You know, if you've seen the movie Streets of Fire, it looks like you're on the set there. But you know, I don't think that's good fan support. That's not what I'm, you know, that's not what I'm looking for from Nebraska fans. So I don't think so. I don't think there's apathy among Husker fans. I mean, some of the things we've been talking about today, and how passionate people are and how upset they are about things, that doesn't indicate to me that people lack passion for the program, which I think is good. But again, I think it has to be realistic as well.
Sip, I'll go to you with this one. What does Taylor Martinez have to do to win some more fans over?
I think he's got a lot of fans. I mean, I don't know. I thought he had a pretty good year, actually. I think he's had two good years. So I don't know what he's got to do. You know, like that, you know, I don't have to tell you, that position is always a lightning rod, and if they're not winning as many as people think, everybody's going to go to the quarterback play. But I thought Taylor, I'll tell you one thing, he'd be about ninth on the list of issues I'd look at from that game the other day that cost him. I thought Taylor played pretty well. And, you know, what could he do, you know? What could he do better? I don't know, I guess. You know, all these discussions to me are a little ridiculous. I suppose he could change his throwing motion so he throws like Peyton Manning. That would help, probably. that would get some people off his back if he threw like Johnny Unitas. But I think improving as a passer would be the next thing for Taylor. But I just thought he took a lot of good steps this year. So who knows? I mean, I don't know what makes people happy.
Well, the time always flies by, so before we completely run out of it with Sean Callahan, Steve Sippel, and Mike Babcock, here's what the listeners of the show and Husker fans want to know more than anything from three of the gentlemen in this state and this country that cover Nebraska more than anybody else. They want to know, what's your lasting impression or memory? And I'm talking about, well, we can remember the prayer at Penn State. I remember standing on the field when Jared Crick had his arms setting down off his side when he was walking off the field getting injured at Ohio State when we didn't know. One other image, it was and again, I think I talked to a couple of you guys about this, was our security guard there when we go into the press conference after the game, pointing out after Northwestern, going, listen to them. They don't care. The party atmosphere that was going on in the locker room, which I didn't even know you could hear after the Northwestern loss, which I thought, man, something's wrong. There must be a huge party tonight. But there's all these games. There's 13 games. There's fall practice. There's injuries. There's the travels. Give me the one thing that pops into your head, Sean Callahan, that you'll remember this season for.
God, that's a tough – I mean, a lot of things – the Ohio State one to me was special just because it was the largest comeback in school history. And I remember walking in to fill up my pop during the middle of that game, and I think it was a 21-point game or whatever it was at that point. And I turned to one of the guys in the room there, well, we're going to have our game stories done here in about 10 minutes. And that game just turned around. I mean, I'll never forget how that game turned. And you just don't see Ohio State teams, the players they have, blow leads like that. And that will always be special to me because it was the first Big Ten home game for Nebraska.
Mike, what stuck out to you?
I know you mentioned the Penn State prayer, but the thing that I'll remember from this season above everything else was the post-game, Bo Pelini's post-game session after the Penn State game. He talked for about 12 minutes. 4 minutes had to do with football. The other 8 had to do with things that were really important. I didn't think that game should have been played. I thought that was the highlight of, for me, that was the highlight of Bo's coaching tenure at Nebraska in 4 seasons, the things that he said after the Penn State game.
Sip, how about you?
Interesting, Mike. Ohio State, like Sean mentioned, more specifically, Lavonnie taking the ball out of Braxton Miller's hands. It kind of epitomized it was a microcosm of Lavonnie David, what kind of type of athlete he is. And then also, just like Sean said, that comeback. And I always remember Rex making the move on that guy in the flat there after taking a nice pass from Taylor Martinez and getting in the end zone. That comeback was riveting, and it was a huge part of the season. That's what I'll I'll remember that October 8 game more than anything.
Well, it's interesting, the first Rex Burkhead comment we've had on, you know, we talked for about a half hour about Nebraska football, and, you know, the guy was unbelievable. Any way his body can hold up through another year, they got to back off the carries for him. Sip, I'll start with you.
No, you're right. They can't. They got to back off a little bit. I mean, I don't think you got to back off a lot. He looked great in the bowl game. I mean, he looked live. His legs looked live. But I think they got to get somebody going behind him a little bit. And I think they got some guys that can do that. I would like to see a guy like Aaron Green go from about 190 to get him up to about 200 to 205 pounds so he can withstand punishment. Get Abdullah up about 10 pounds. I like bigger running backs. And those guys I just thought they're too small this year. They're young, but I just thought actually they're – the body types are just too small. They got to put some weight on those young guys, and that would help. That would help Rex a lot if they can get that backup 12, 15 carries in a lot of games.
All right, one last little comment from each of you, and then we'll wrap this session up. Sean, we've got two new kids that gave oral commitments. I want to hit the recruiting side, the very latest from there.
Yeah, Nebraska picked up Avery Moss, a defensive end out of Arizona, and then Jared Afalava, linebacker out of Utah. Both of them high three stars, right on the cusp of being four-star recruits. Both defensive players. Afalava is the fourth linebacker in this class. That is clearly, to me, the number one need right now, because after Levante David and Sean Fisher now and Will Compton still in the program, there is nobody at linebacker. They need linebackers bad. They're going to bring in four this year. Zaire Anderson's the top JUCO linebacker in the country. That was a big get to get him here because they need to find some linebackers to play in this league.
Mike, colleague Tom Chattel wrote that Nebraska will be in the Rose Bowl next year, and that's because they're playing UCLA in the non-conference schedule. What will happen if Nebraska doesn't show improvement next year?
Well, it depends on how you define improvement.
I think Nebraska fan wants them to get to a championship game, and Michigan seems like the only logical folk that's standing in the way unless Urban Meyer can throw one-year magic out there, and they can't go anyway. So,
yeah, well, no, I think that obviously that's going to be that's going to be what drives it going into next season is that Nebraska needs to get to the Big Ten championship game, and I think the fact that we can have that discussion and have that expectation is a positive because – it shows that Nebraska has the capability to do it. Now, if Nebraska gets there or not is a whole different question. There are a lot of factors, as we saw in this season, everything we've talked about. Injuries come into it. There are a lot of factors that are involved. But Nebraska has the ability to do it. That's the positive thing. To me, that indicates the program's going in the right direction, and I think you'll see improvement in the program. But, again, I don't think you can just set a baseline and say, the only way we're going to say this program has improved is if it gets to the Big Ten championship game.
And finally, Sip, we were fortunate that as Nebraskans, that Taylor Martinez and Rex Burkhead never got hurt this year because God knows what would have happened with the peers of the lack of depth. And we've had this question a lot lately, too. Will, for the first time next year, the offense have to carry the defense?
Who are you asking that question to?
Sip, I'm asking you.
Oh, okay. Hi, Doug. No, okay. I don't think so at all. I don't think that'll be the case at all. I think Nebraska, you know, have six seniors on the two deep on defense. They have a lot back, a lot of good players back, and I really like what they got back up front. Particularly at the end positions. I think they're going to be fine on defense. I think they're a top 30 defense coming back. I don't think they're a top 10 defense, but no, absolutely not. I don't think that there are going to be a situation where the offense is going to have to carry the defense at all.
Some of the best friends of the Doug and Daddy program who are always gracious with their time, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star, Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of Husker Online, and every once in a while you'll see him on Big Red Wrap-Up with Michael Severe's co-host. Guys, we cannot say thank you enough for all the time you give us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and enjoy a couple of days off before signing season gets here.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. Steve Sipple, Sean Callahan, and Mike Babcock. Love them. Love them. You got a little time to react. Emails, phone calls, if you want to fire it in, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com and 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. We'll be right back.
As a proud father of five daughters, I knew someday the wedding bells would be ringing, wringing my wallet dry. So in order to save some money, I decided that all of their special days would be on the same day.
I can't believe this.
Can't believe what? I've been engaged for 10 years waiting for you.
It's only because you took the first one to come along.
Take that back. Justin's a good
man. Girls, this is no time to bicker. It's go time, ladies.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Whoa, what are you doing?
What?
The suit of armor, what?
Oh, I'm headed to Buffalo Wild Wings to watch the game.
And you're wearing a suit of armor because...
It's postseason. Anything goes.
What are you talking about?
People get crazy for these games. Everyone's all amped up. You gotta be ready.
And wearing 80 pounds of steel is how you get ready?
You have a better idea?
Well, I don't think there's a worse idea.
It's going to be fandemonium at Buffalo Wild Wings all postseason long. With award-winning wings, ice-cold beer, and wall-to-wall games. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Frederick and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified billing. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by local Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 today. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
As sunshine develops across the area today, temperatures will top off up in the mid-60s for a high, with a west wind from around 10 to 15. For tonight, as skies stay mainly clear, we'll head back to 31. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, it's 48.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. And Daddy had to sneak out of here because, well, it is JV basketball refereeing time. And what did he say, Overton today? I think he said Overton, and then he's got some reserves over at Lex.
Yep.
So if you're on West Highway 30 today, personal appearance by the Daddy. Now, he doesn't normally sign a lot of autographs, but that's okay if you want to ask him for one. The Daddy will sign autographs, just not during the game. Even though it looks like he has time to sign one during the game, don't ask him until the ball game is over. We appreciate that, and so does the big fella. Hey, when Daddy gets home, though, he relaxes in his lame recliner from Bruce Furniture, and they want to take care of you as well. Maybe you've got through the holidays, you survived, maybe you got a little holiday cash, and it's time to get that living room, bedroom, whatever room in your house up to date, or just change it up a little bit. And the folks at Bruce Furniture are there to help you with just the right help for you. They'll even move the furniture or whatever it is that is being replaced out of the house or the office or the bedroom or wherever it is just for you. Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance. Go to brucefurniture.com. You can check them out on Facebook as well. Stop by and tell them Doug and Daddy sent you. And if you see Daddy sleeping in one of the chairs, that's okay. Leave him alone. It's wintertime. Hibernation time. Jason chimes in today. Where you been, Jason? Good to hear from you on the Doug and Daddy email here on the Dead Popper inbox. He goes, I'm sure you guys have already heard about this, but I guess Terrell Owens has bought part of the Allen Wranglers indoor football team. And the Allen Wranglers play in Grand Island against the Nebraska Danger on June the 2nd. Could be a fun time to see T.O. in Grand Island. You think T.O. would come to Grand Island? I don't think so. But, if he did, that'd be cool. Because he's my quarterback, man. He's my quarterback, and it's not fair. Don't forget the Nebraska Danger have their open tryouts in Grand Island this Saturday. It will be in the Community Fieldhouse at Fauner Park on the north end of the fairground. Doors open at 8 a.m. for registration. Tryouts are at 9. $40 is the fee. You can pre-register online at GetDangerGear.com. NebraskaDanger.com, but check it out, GetDangerGear.com. Costs you $20 more if you register at the door. The drills begin at 9 a.m. Warm up on your own. Make sure you got some shoes. Wear your turf shoes or tennis shoes, shorts, T-shirts. For more information, NebraskaDanger.com or to register, GetDangerGear.com. That's going to be here before we know it. Less than two months before we have a little preseason preseason action that's going on. Hey, a couple of other notes before we roll on out of here. Kearney High Boys basketball team has their Moonlight Madness after the North Platte game this Saturday night. Come on in, watch the game. The boys varsity gets underway at 7 o'clock. Then afterwards, basketball skills clinic and contests in the gym. A pizza party. It's for all 3rd through 7th grade boys, and they'll have them out of there by approximately 10:30. It costs $5 to have all this great fun with the guys. So if you're 3rd through 7th grade boys, hang around for an evening of fun food and basketball with Kearney High basketball team. For more information, contact head coach Scott Steinbrook at Kearney High. Oh, man. Husker football. Is it really over? No. Because signing day is just 1 month away. 1 month away till signing day. We need to take a break. We'll be back and wrap up the Doug and Daddy show after this.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. Picture this. You're on your way home after work. You check your iPhone and see an urgent request that needs immediate attention. But you don't want to do a UE? You don't want to go back to the office to log onto your computer? I have a better way. Use Citrix's new GoToMyPC app for iPhone. It's like having your work computer right in your pocket. Take care of last-minute requests from anywhere. With GoToMyPC app for iPhone, you can edit PowerPoints, work on any file right from your iPhone. You can log on to your Mac or PC with GoToMyPC app for iPads, too. Listen, my wife uses this regularly, and it saves her so much time and so many headaches. You don't want to do a UE in the road. Just head home and use GoToMyPC app for iPhone. Try and GoToMyPC today. We've got a special 45-day free trial just for my listeners. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the Try It Free button, enter the promo code Colin. Then download the free app to your iPad or iPhone. That's GoToMyPC.com, Try It Free, promo code Colin.
This Saturday, it's a wild card edition of the NFL as we bring you a special playoff doubleheader. Hi, this is Scott Graham. Join me and the rest of our Westwood One crew from the Subway Fresh broadcast booth for all the action. First, rookie Andy Dalton and the Cincinnati Bengals head to Houston to take on the Texans. Then, Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints host Matt Stafford and the Detroit Lions. The NFL playoffs are right here.
Bengals, Texans, Lions, Saints, Saturday on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
As sunshine develops across the area today, temperatures will top off up in the mid-60s for a high, with a west wind from around 10 to 15. For tonight, as skies stay mainly clear, we'll head back to 31. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, it's 48.
And give me something to believe in. That there's a Lord above. I give me something to
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. College basketball coming your way tonight here on ESPN. UCLA and Arizona. It's Pac-12 competition as football winds down, but not completely done, and basketball gears up. We'll have a lot of college basketball leading you through the NCAA tournament, the Final Four, and of course the championship game in early April right here on ESPN Radio. After a hard day of work, kick back, relax, maybe a margarita, maybe just some chips and salsa to go along with dinner for two and less than $20 at Carlos O'Kelly's. Two for $19.81 to be exact. You get an appetizer like chili con queso or queso fundido, and then two full entrees. And as always, unlimited crispy chips and Carlos's made-from-scratch salsa. It's tonight, 2 for $19.81 at Carlos O'Kelly and Carney, just south of the Cinema 8. If you get to the interstate, you've been too far. If you need to eat, this is the place to be tonight. Enjoy Carlos O'Kelly's 2 for less than $20. $19.81, you get the appetizer, you get the full entree, and of course, chips and salsa at Carlos O'Kelly's. Glad to have you on. As always, the River City Hunting, Fishing, RV, and Boat Expo is set up for the Mid-America Center just across the river in Council Bluffs. We always have tickets to give to you, the listeners, for that. It's coming up January 20th through the 22nd. And next week, I believe, we're going to be giving away more tickets for that. We'll have some special guests leading up to that to let you know more about it. Some great folks there that always have some very good displays and, of course, are there the whole time. Let's see. What do we got today? Jeff Lewis. He's going to have a seminar on predator hunting. Does he work for the government? Electric collar training from Sue Barnes. Then they talk about catfishing, walleye, your hunting dogs, traveling. It's great. It's at the River City Hunting, Fishing, and RV Expo going on the 20th through the 22nd at the Mac Center in Council Bluffs. I think we can get on out of here, Jeffrey. The big fella is getting ready to saunter up and down the court for a little basketball, and we are glad that you joined us today. In case you missed any of it or you just want to hear the Husker Roundtable session again, you can pick up any of the Doug and Daddy shows, not just yesterday, not just last week, but all throughout this Husker season. They are there for you on our podcast, brought to you by Cunningham's Journal at ESPNSuperstation.com. Maybe you can't listen live to the show every day from 11 to 12. Every show is there just moments after we end on the podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com. Again, thank you to Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Steve Sippel of the Lincoln Journal Star, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com. Continue to check out their great work on the web. Tomorrow, we will be talking to Nebraska wrestling coach Mark Manning, Mike Perenio, director of the Race and Sportsbook of the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, to preview the NFL playoffs. He hit the home run and had the Packers last year before they started. And we'll also talk with Charles Davis of the NFL Network and Fox. We'll see you tomorrow here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.